And then the magnitude of realizing how close to death I was at that day. But I just had that internal thing of just keep fighting, man. Don't give in. Just keep fighting. One more day. Just live for one more day. One more breath. And then just take it breath by breath.
Hello, diehards. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling and Get Shit Done for you and your productivity. I'm joined today by the lovely, the talented...
Aw. I'm Jen Gittimer, author of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up? Welcome. Thank you for joining us. This is an episode like no other. We have never aired an episode like this one. In fact, it kind of surprised us. We didn't know where this episode was going.
We just asked him when to quit, and he created a story for us that was remarkable to me as a person, made me understand Michael Padone in a way that I never understood him before. Yes, he's a fabulous sales trainer. This episode will tell you why.
Michael Padone is a third-time guest on our show. And when the most number one downloaded guest on your show comes to you and says, hey, I have something really important to share with your audience, you don't say no.
No, and you don't even ask what it is. You just go.
Well, we thought, because he put in his email, it was about when to quit. So we thought, like, when to quit as a salesperson. You guys, this episode has nothing to do with sales. It has nothing to do with selling. It is beyond more impactful. It is just all about life.
It's about life and when you quit it.
I think this message, we debated what to do with this because it's so far from anything and everything we've ever talked about on Sell or Die. And we debated and we determined that if this episode could help just one person,
yeah,
if this episode could help you or someone you know that you share it with because you know it will help them, And it gets out to our audience and can make a difference, we have a duty and an obligation to share it. And yes, my voice has become a little bit more somber because it's a serious topic and you're not going to want to miss this one.
This is a lesson that goes way beyond what you're thinking today. Am I going to get a sales lesson? What you're going to get is a life lesson and an incredible story that may be for someone you know personally. Please make certain that you share it with them in some way. But in the meantime, it's now your turn to listen to this amazing story.
There is something in this episode for you. Whether you... We were just sitting there when Michael was talking, just totally mind blown because we thought, oh, he's going to talk to us about selling and when to stop, you know, badgering your prospect. And what he really spoke about was so much more important and so much deeper. There is something in here for you, and I can guarantee there is something in here for someone else you know. Think about that person and even share this with them while you take a listen.
Diehards, this is actually a fun day for us and a fun time because Michael Padone not only has been a friend of mine for a long, long time, and a friend of ours and a friend of the show, but our listeners, you, the diehards, love this guy.
This is the first third timer we have here.
Oh, yeah.
This is major.
We have only fast danced. We've never slowed danced. But I can tell you that this is a person that I actually respect. And I can count those people in the sales business and the sales world, one hand, two hands at the absolute most, of people who are no bullshit, people who give accurate information, and people that will help salespeople make money. And there's not many of those people, male or female. So please welcome the great Michael Padone.
And in case you want to like pause this, go back, listen to his first two amazing episodes.
Cool. Yeah,
you can check out from June of, I don't even know when, his episode was New School Cold Calling. And then he did Identifying the Real Decision Maker.
So, and thousands of downloads.
Really?
Literally.
Yes,
so, but here's the deal. Today we're going to talk about when to quit.
Is there? Do you actually quit? I thought you never quit.
First of all, thank you for that intro. That means a lot to me. It really does, Jeff. I mean,
my pleasure.
Especially coming from you guys. But yeah. And I know you don't bullshit when you say those things.
No, especially, listen, I draw the line. And
he likes
usually
like
the
five
line,
people.
Usually the line is the Mason-Dixon line, but people from fucking Baltimore just kind of sneak in. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. All right.
So here's the thing. Yeah, so, Jen, you know what? It's funny you said when to quit. Is there a time? And... oh man, you guys are in for something today because I have two stories I want to share.
Okay.
And one of them was so, and I know, I think we were going to try to do this in December and it got bumped to January or whatever. And I don't want to say I almost chickened out, but even as early as this morning, I was debating if I want to share the first one and just stick with the second one.
Wow. Oh, now you have to. You cannot give a lead up like that and not share it.
Exactly.
Well, the thing is, it's going to make me very vulnerable. It's going to open me up. Right. So, but I think the story, I know a lot of times we get really into the sales things, and I think this is sales in life in general. It's going to be relevant to a lot of people. But this is going to be more on a bigger scale, but that people could use in their sales and in their life in general. So let me just, before I change my mind, let me just jump in there.
Go.
I definitely wanted to talk about, you know, when to quit. I have a very specific story of when I had enough and it was the right time to pull the trigger. And I do want to share some things where it'll help somebody decide if these factors are happening. Yes, it's okay to quit, because a lot of times we don't think it's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Either you just quit at the drop of the hat, or you stay in something too long sometimes, right? Yeah. So I'm one of those people that just, I never wanted to quit, right? So there are certain factors that I learned that there are times that, you know, choose to lose, so to speak, and because you're going to win more in the end. And before that, I do want to share a time where I was ready to quit, and like I was really close. And when I say quit, I mean quit life in general. I mean, so. It was, I was in high school. You know, I had a very rough upbringing. I think I may have mentioned a little bit on some of these podcasts in the past, or maybe I haven't, but you know, stepfathers being really big idiots, very physically abusive. My mom was married to a dude that was 6'4", part of the biking gang in Phoenix. I was just a 14-year-old kid, and he used to be very violent with them. And I had two younger brothers, and I used to get them out of the house on the weekends before all the dirty, literally the dirty dozen would come to my house and hang out and do beer parties in my backyard. And I would get them out of the house before he would get drunk and so they didn't have to see him beat on my mom and things of that nature. And you go through this as a kid, and you know, I was failing in school. I wasn't even going to school anymore. It got so bad. I wasn't even going to be able to graduate because I missed so many classes, and it got so depressing and I had nowhere to turn to. And there was literally a time I remember sitting on my mom's bed, because you know, there was guns in the house. I wasn't really familiar with guns. I was never trained in them, but there was one gun in there and I really wanted to end it all. I mean, it got to the point where I just couldn't take anymore. So I went and sat in the bed and I took the gun. I took one bullet that was right in the chamber. I took it out and then closed it up again. And I was just going to see what it sounded like, what it felt like, just to raise it up, pull a trigger, just as a test run almost. That's how bad things were. And for whatever, I mean, and when I say I'm on my last thread as a kid and going through all this stress, I mean, like if you had a rope and you wound it down to the single last piece of thread that's on there, that's holding it, that's where I was. And the tension was like this. And I was just going to just do a trial run just to like see if it would just take the pressure and the pain and all this stuff away, right? And at the last second, I decided not to. And I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to give in to just do it. I'm like, I'm just going to keep fighting, right? So then I came up with this thing. It's like, if you're going to quit, quit tomorrow. So it just gave me an extra day to live. And then, you know what I mean? If I'm going to quit tomorrow, I'm going to quit tomorrow. And then fortunately, you know, the next day came and I had a little bit of, you know, more energy and willing to fight. And then some things went down again, but then they eventually got better. And I just kept fighting. It took years to actually get to an area where things were fine. And I was, you know, making something of myself. Don't forget, when you're a 14-year-old kid, you got a 6'4" biker that's coming home and beating your mom and telling you you're never going to amount to anything. You know what I mean? You got to fight this dude. And I'm a skinny 14-year-old. You know what I mean? 14, 15-year-old kid. You know, this shit gets old. And so here's the whole point of the story. I mentioned I don't know a lot about guns, right? Especially at the time, I wasn't trained. They freaking call it a revolver for a reason. I didn't realize that at the time.
Got it.
I took the one bullet out that was right where the hammer was. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So if I would have went through that test,
you'd be dead.
Exactly. Yeah. People would have come home. My brains would have been blown out, and I would forever be going, wait a minute, you know, in the afterlife. I mean, wait a minute. I didn't mean to do that. And everybody would have thought so. And it was years later before I realized that. And then the magnitude of realizing how close to death I was at that day. But I just had that internal thing of just keep fighting, man. Don't give in. Just keep fighting. One more day. Just live for one more day. One more breath, and then just take it breath by breath. I mean, if I would have done that, this world would be without two amazing kids. My daughters are fabulous, and all that would have been gone. You know, the lives that they impact, everything. It's just mind blowing to me. So I think, even though I wanted to do this in December, especially because I know a lot of people get depressed during those times, right?
Yeah.
But if anybody's out here listening to this, and even if you're in sales or any walk of life, I mean, hang in there. You've got to keep fighting, right? So if you're going to quit tomorrow. Just give it that one extra day. Then definitely get some help. There's a lot more help out there today.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the first thing I wanted to share.
Hold on.
Don't do it because of someone else. You know, what happened is you looked at your surroundings and you looked at your situation and you said, oh, I'm helpless. And then finally, day by day, you realized that you could help yourself. And you did.
I guess. I mean, you know, it's just, it was tough, Jeff. You know, everybody has a story. So I don't like to, like I said, here I am. I mean, you just mentioned that we get a lot of downloads. A lot of people are going to hear the story that nobody even knows. My kids, they're going to hear this for the first time and go, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I just felt it was important enough to.
Well done.
To really share.
Yeah, well done.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. That was so major of you to open up and share that with us and with our audience. And we're very grateful for you willing to do that, because even if it impacts only one person, which I know it will impact more.
Yeah.
You've now impacted that one person.
Exactly.
I appreciate that. All right. I appreciate that. So let's get to some other
no,
stuff.
No. I'll stick on this for just a couple more sentences.
Jeffrey's not letting you off that easy.
Yeah.
Look at the mental clarity that you didn't have at that moment.
Yeah.
Because no one was there to coach you or help you, and you felt alone. And that's what precipitated the whole thought process. Like, I'm alone in this, and I have no champion, I have no coach, I have no winners, I have no other people.
Saw no way out.
Right.
Saw no way out.
Exactly.
Yet you are still trying to help and coach your siblings.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just, as an older brother, and I'm Italian, I just feel that's, you know, that's what it is. You know what I mean? You got to take care of them, you know.
But that coaching in you, that helping in you was there from always, from your childhood.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I'm the only one that can beat them up, right? Everybody else has to leave them alone.
Exactly.
That's right.
Well,
oh, man.
It's interesting that you didn't think about using the gun on him.
Oh, no, we haven't had that conversation. Yeah. I definitely have.
Yeah.
There was times that it's gotten to the point where I was going to just do it that way. But when, you know, I did have a teacher, I was in Phoenix at the time. At the time, the school was called Camelback High School. And this teacher, Mr. Hutloff, was fabulous. He was a guitar teacher, classical guitar teacher there. I think he recently passed away, but, you know, he was the only one I felt like I could talk to that would understand me, and he would give me advice. And I said, I think one of these days I'm just going to do this. And he's like, you can't do that. You're going to go to jail. You'll be in jail for the rest of your life. And I was weighing those options. I mean, there wasn't like what we had today where there's some little bit of a more leniency in that area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So dude, believe me, it's gotten close. I'm going to tell you one other story. I woke up one day. Oh man, here we go. I woke up one day just to give you a sense. Okay. I ended up getting my brothers out of the house for the weekend, because every weekend it was going to be something, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm sleeping. We're in this like 800 square foot shit house I a couple years ago, I took my wife to Phoenix for the first time ever and showed her where I live. She wouldn't even get out of the car, right? She's out of that neighborhood. She just wouldn't even do it, right? She wanted to get the hell out of it. But there's like a little 800 square foot house. We had, what, five of us living in there, whatever. And four or five of us. And they were out of the house. It's Saturday night. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I hear they come home. They wake me up. I'm happy that they're home safe because they're out there drinking drugs, whatever, you know, on a Harley. And there's nothing bad about having a Harley. I don't want to stereotype. I'm just saying that that's what the scenario was, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm glad they're home. Let me just go say hi. And I'm like, you know, waking up. We didn't have air conditioning, so I was just in my underwear, right? And it's in Phoenix, if I haven't said that. So it's really hot there. And I just walk around the corner, and he's got a sawed-off shotgun to my mom's head, screaming, "I'm going to blow your effing head off, Connie. I'm going to blow it off." And you want to talk about being in, you know, how to think on your feet in sales. Here is, I'm a skinny, runny kid. They were just getting home. She was getting undressed. She's standing there naked. This guy's lunatic is whacked out of his mind with a sawed-off shotgun. I'm going to blow your head off. I had to think fast, Jeff. And I was just like, hey, man, hey, look at me. It's okay. Listen, let's just calm down for a second, right? Right. In the meantime, I'm like, you know, like pulling my mom over. Come on, just go close to me. Get to her. I grab her as soon as she got close to me, as soon as she put the gun down for a second. Dude, we're running down the street in Phoenix in the middle of the night. There's carports. There's not even garages. That's the kind of neighborhood it was, mm-hmm. right? It's like the Walking Dead. We're running down the street. She barely grabbed the road on. I'm in my underwear. We're hiding behind a car while this freaking lunatic is walking up and down the street with a shotgun screaming he's going to kill us.
Yeah. Mm. Where is he now?
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I got it.
I don't want to know, to be honest with you. So I don't even give them the time of day. But there was instances like that, you know. It was a common thing. And again, everybody's got a story. So I really don't use it as a crutch. I don't freaking say, woe is me.
Yeah.
Right. This is the same jackass that, you know, he would drive a truck. Again, not stereotyping. There's a lot of people that we need to drive trucks and all that stuff for. But how many times where he would go off for 6 months and then he would, you know, somehow get injured on the job just so he could be home all summer. Collect no. unemployment, you know what I mean? No. And then go back out again. And then on the road, when the winter came, and I'm just like, when the employment benefits ran out. And I'm just like, I don't care. I was actually homeless once. I don't know if you guys know that.
No.
And I was just like, yeah, to the point where I moved to Florida on my own. I wanted to meet my biological father. It didn't work out. And then I had nothing. And then I had to find a place to live. And I had somebody take me in. I got on my feet. It's a whole other story. But I'm not that type of person that's going to go, you know, a wrong deck of cards, mm-hmm. you know, blame this, blame mm-hmm. the economy, whatever. I swore to myself, I would never go on food stamps. You know, I would never do it. And there's people have to do it. And I'm okay with that if they really need it. But I just knew, man, I just be seeing him work the system like that and cheat the system. I was never going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't care what was going to happen.
So what would you say to someone who has had that, you know, uneasy. I'm not sure what to
They're
call
in
it.
Family trouble. They're in past. Family trouble.
Yeah. How did you go from where you were to who you are now?
What's the bridge?
So I think there's two roads, right? Like you can go down one path and go, hey, this is just your destiny to you know, it's just what it is. It sucks and that's that. Right. Or you could go, you know what, I'm going to beat this and I'm going to take all this bullshit. I'm going to wrap it up and I'm going to repackage it as rocket fuel. And I'm going to use that to overcome it and say, you know, fuck you. I beat it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You might have to edit that.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people would have just been beaten down, take a menial job and claim that was their lot and gripe about it for 25 years.
Yeah.
Or you
no
could.
No way, dude.
Yeah.
No way. I can't do that. No way.
But those words of his of you'll never amount to nothing, I'm sure ring in your head when you're like, ha, look what I just did. Look what I just helped. Look at that. You know, it's like, yeah, I did amount to more than.
Well, I never feel like I've arrived yet, though. That's the thing, right? I'm 49. I'll be 50 this year. I still don't feel like I've arrived.
You're
our
most downloaded show.
Yeah, exactly.
Where else do you need to go?
Hold on. You may not have arrived yet, but you're on the bus.
Hell yeah. You're driving the bus. You're
yeah. But the challenge for diehards and people that are listening to this story and going, wow, that's a really tough story. No, dude, everyone has their story, as Michael has told you. The question is, what do you do with the cards that are in your hand right now? Why are you griping about the fucking weather? Why are you griping about the customer that said no to you? And I believe that one of Michael's benchmarks for his success, especially in the area of cold calling, is he's not quitting no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, my statement has always been, even if your ass falls off, and you all know that if you listen, but his almost got shot off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to look at it from the perspective of, okay, what's the real big deal about what you're complaining about? Because for most people, they're complaining about nothing.
I think also it's a reminder that you often don't know what people are going through or what they've been through.
Yeah.
And when you're an asshole to someone or whatever, you have no idea how you're really impacting them because of what may have just happened in their personal life. And it's a nice, it's a reminder to just be nice.
Yeah, that's for sure. Right. Which I struggle with sometimes too. Right. Because like I said, Jeff, I'm from the Northeast. I'm from New York. I'm Italian. Right.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes if somebody asks me, you know, how's your day going? I want to go, what the fuck's it to you?
Right. Exactly. Like, right. Right. None of your fucking business. How's your day going?
Right. Oh, boy.
But the most interesting thing about New York is that that's common vernacular and people would take it as a, you know, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. You don't say that here.
No, you can't say
people
that here.
People would fucking die.
Yeah.
This is a podcast. Dun, 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 dun. Which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us. That's why you should follow us on Instagram. Personally, I'm at Jeffrey Gittimer. Jen is at Jen Gittimer.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes, our dogs, our life. We ask interesting things and stories. If you DM us, we'll even respond.
No, we won't.
Well, you might not, but I respond to every single DM. And of course, we give you some more sales wisdom over there. So if you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join. Follow us today, and you may even get a shout out on our next podcast. At Jeffrey Gittimer, at Jen Gittimer, we'll see you on the gram.
Wait a minute, the gram? Is that one of those words that if you're cool, you say the gram instead of Instagram?
Hell yeah. I mean, you could say like, we'll see you on Insta.
Oh yeah. I would say gram, you would say Insta, I say gram, you say tomato, I say tomato, and everyone has a great time when you follow us.
See you there. So you had another story.
Yes, I think it's important to get to that.
All right, let's tell us.
Yeah.
Okay, so
okay.
Are we in sales mode yet?
Yeah, I think so. Well, like I said, you know, you need to learn how to sell to get that shotgun away from the head and real fast, right?
Yeah.
So
there's no doubt about that.
But you know, just one thing. You sold yourself in that story. You sold yourself hope. You sold yourself faith. You sold yourself confidence to try it for just one more day. And you sold yourself every day after that. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then you got to get some small wins, though, Jeff. I think before we move on to the next thing, I think if somebody's struggling, I think the one thing that they have to get some momentum, they got to get some small wins. I think one of the best things, words of advice, or the best goal to have, the first goal is every day you get up, first thing you do, just make your bed. Just have a goal to make your bed. First thing, you control it. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do it, you got a small win. Okay, now you're gonna have a healthy breakfast, right? So you just do that, and then next, okay, I'm gonna do 10 sales calls.
Mine was brush your hair, and that didn't work out too well.
Yeah, I see.
But I'm teaching my 10-year-old, our 10-year-old daughter, to make her bed every day.
I don't understand. Why do I have to make my bed today if I'm gonna get back in it tonight?
Right, exactly.
It's real simple.
Yeah.
One, you build discipline. The other thing too is that it's a small win, something that you can accomplish, and just feels good. And look, I also saw, you ever see that video that it was in the army or whatever, in the military service, that he gave some speech about making your bed. He's like, even if you come home at the end of a day and you had a bad day, well, at least you have a nice bed to get
that's
in.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
I used to say the same thing your daughter said when I was younger, but let's be honest, as adults, doesn't it feel good to come home, even no matter what kind of day you had, and the bed's made, you're like, oh, it feels so good.
Especially when someone else makes it.
Exactly.
But if you come home and Jeff didn't make the bed, you're like, what the
Right. No, we always make the bed, but
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so let's look at it from a standpoint of a salesperson who has to make those 10 calls in the morning. They pump themselves up to do it, and all 10 people say no.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not uncommon. Well,
but they made their bed. They had a small win.
It's not uncommon, though, for them to have that 10th no and then try to get to the 11th person. And I'm challenging people that they don't start with a good sense of humor, not just a good attitude, but a good sense of humor. And when I was cold calling in Charlotte, I was selling sales leads, literally.
Right.
New homeowners, building permits and stuff like that. I'd walk in and I'd ask who was in charge of sales leads, and they would not know. So a decision maker would almost always come out. And I would show them what I got, and they'd go, I'm not interested. And I would go, wow, it usually takes me about four people to say not interested before I can get to one person who is. You're only my second not interested. Do you know anybody else that might not be interested? And that would make me laugh. It would make them laugh. It would lighten the whole conversation up, and I wouldn't feel like I was defeated because I made the guy smile.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I made a lot of sales. I got my company from nothing to about 10 grand a month within the first 3 weeks of me starting to do it.
That's awesome.
But but I did it with fun. And I found out when you're cold calling in any kind of building where there's a no soliciting sign, but it's a big public building, they can only throw you out into the hallway. They can't throw you out of the whole building. So they would
you're
going to have
to go to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Or go down the steps.
Oh, man.
And I think this is important for everybody that's listening because you said this before in one of the podcasts at the end when I was listening to it, you and Jen were talking about how I'm a little more serious on the serious side. You're a little more on the fun side, but that's our personalities. The last thing we want somebody to do, somebody that's got a little bit more of a lighter sense of humor to try to be like me where it's more serious and vice versa. Somebody's a little more serious and try to be funny. It's not going to come out right. You got to be yourself.
Yes.
You definitely have to be yourself. Find what works for you, but then hang in there. And I also have some strategies that if you are getting 10 no's on the phone call, chances are there's three things that's going wrong or one of three things that's going wrong that we could fix. But we can talk about that another time.
All right. So tell us the second story.
Yeah.
Okay. So the second story is...
By the way, we're in deep now.
Yeah.
Everyone's in.
Okay. All right. Good. So let's talk about when to quit. This is critical. So I was working on an organization where... And I didn't know it at the time. Again, another disclaimer. They were all Scientologists. I didn't know that. And I'm not saying, good or bad about that. It was just the way it was. And it was a call center here in the Clearwater, Florida area, which seems to be the capital of call centers a lot of times. We're going back 25 years, right? And so at first, I was doing very well. And the second year, I was doing very well, right? Things just kept going really good. Eventually, I wasn't really happy in there. I wasn't believing it. They came out with some new products. I wasn't believing in the product because some RMA started to come back. And then it was like, well, you oversold it. I'm like, dude, I'm saying what you told us to say. How am I overselling it? You oversold it to me is what you're really saying. But right. So there was some dissension there, but I just wasn't happy, but I was afraid to make a move. Right. I had a manager that kept telling me, where else are you going to go to? And at the time it was 25 years ago, whatever, 20 years ago. And you're saying, where else are you going to go to make 40, 50 grand a year? Now, back then in Florida, wasn't bad money as a straight commission sales rep.
Mm-hmm.
And, it kept reminding me, you never went to college. Where are you going to go to make money? So I didn't even realize till later in life that was just manipulation, right? But it was just really keeping me down. And what really changed it, really was the final straws. I remember for some reason they allowed this Brian Tracy sales rep to come in. I guess Brian Tracy was coming to the Tampa center, you know what it is, Jeff.
Yeah, and he would go out and try to sell tickets to the event.
Exactly. The Tampa Convention Center, right? So he was coming. He was saying that, hey, Brian Tracy's going to be there, and he does. They let them during lunch to all these 80 sales reps that we have.
Yeah,
let this guy do this pitch, and I was interested. I was even though I was a straight commission sales rep, I always wanted to get better, right? They were selling tickets. It's like, hey, by the way, Brian Tracy's coming this Thursday. Tickets are this price, but if you get 10 or more, it's this price. And that's when our GM, the guy I was telling you about, gets up and throws this guy out on his ass.
What?
Just throws it. Yeah. When he found out he was selling tickets and he was going to take people away during a work week to actually go to this thing, he was like, yeah, that now you're out. Right.
What?
So, and then he comes back and he goes, well, that was fun. Everybody back to work. And I was like, okay, well, I went up to him after. I said, listen, I would love to go to that. My numbers are down a little bit. Sounds like I could learn a lot. It was like $200 for them to go. I asked the company to pay for it. I'm thinking, hey, $200 is easy for the company. That was like $2,000 to me at the time. Yeah. Especially I just put money down on my first house. You know, I have my 2-year-old child. And don't forget, I'm a straight commission sales rep, right? So I got all this commitment. And I'm thinking that it would benefit them more if I'm selling more, right? So why wouldn't they pay the $200? I was told, no, we have really good training here. We're not going to pay for it. And to their credit, I thought they really did have good training, but you can always have something new and fresh, right, to spark ideas. But then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to pay for it myself. So can I have that day off then? They said no, which I don't think was legal because it's straight commission, right? But I defer. Here's the thing. I go to that seminar.
Yeah.
Because I'm from New York and I don't listen to anybody else if I want to do something, right?
So I know the feeling. I know the feeling.
Yeah. Exactly. But you could relate. So then I go anyway. And while I'm there, Brian Tracy does a great job. They have all these cassettes for sale. That's dating myself, right? Cassettes. Most of you don't even know what
that is. Yep. He used an overhead projector too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. Yeah. So then I whip out my credit card and I spent $500 on all this stuff, which when I get home, you know, I had to ask for forgiveness rather than permission. It's right. Too late then. My wife's freaking out. But dude, I studied this stuff like day and night, right? For morning for breakfast, I was watching one of it came with a VHS tape. I was listening to that. I was listening to tapes in the car. During lunch, I was listening to it. And my sales took off. Now, I think a lot of it was I just got energized. There were some new things that I learned that I could help. And I think I just energized myself, right, mm-hmm. for a lot of it. Because the one thing is he didn't teach a sales process, which is what I'm big in. I teach an actual sales process that you could just use your own stuff and follow this path. You're going to make more. Him is more motivation, but it worked. So my numbers went up, right? So that was good. But man, was my boss being such an asshole day after day because I took off. They were calling my wife at home. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? You know, like, well, hey, he went to this thing. You know, it was insane, right? So I come back and I finally had enough of their stuff. And I just couldn't take it anymore. And I quit. No backup plan, no nothing. I left. I said, F you. I'm out of here. And I walked out. And that's when the panic attack started. Like literally every 15 minutes. Like first of all, I was relieved. Like there was no tomorrow. Like this right. huge burden. Was
relief
off my
and
chest.
Then panic sets yeah. in.
Exactly. And then like 15 minutes later, like, holy shit. How yeah. am I going to, I just signed on to, we're building a new house. It was our first starter home. Right. I'm responsible. I'm the guy. I'm responsible. I got a 2-year-old daughter. How many? And then the feelings of elation came in again. It's going back and forth. I called my wife. She's freaking out that I quit. She's like, oh, no, you need to go back there and get your job. You know, I understand. And I didn't know what to do. So what I did was this, Jeff. I did what I always do when I'm not sure about something, especially back in those days. I went to the bookstore. And here's my philosophy. Every problem in the world, somebody else's, or I'm not creating, I don't have new problems,
yeah.
right? Every problem in the world, somebody else has already dealt with it. And somebody wrote a book about it, you know, yep. how to solve it.
Yep.
And it's always worked out for me when I've been in a serious situation like this, where I would just walk in not knowing what I'm looking for. And I would just find something. And then I happened to go to this bookstore and right on the shelves, right in front was this book called Who Moved My Cheese? How to Deal with Change. And I'm like, well, I'm dealing with some change right now. So I grabbed this book. It's like one of those 1-minute manager books, right?
Yep, I know exactly who it is. Spencer Johnson.
Yep. Oh, yeah, exactly. So I read it in 45 minutes, changed my life. Talked about how the change and the fear of change, all that's a big paper tiger is the gist of it. And it gave me the confidence to find something else, right? That we can make this work. Well, the next day, the boss calls me. And he gets some of my friends to call me, and then they try to schmooze me over. He's a little, why don't you come back in? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Just take the weekend to think about it. He calls me Sunday night. Why don't you come in tomorrow? We'll start fresh, the whole nine yards, right? I was a top producer. And I was just like, you know, my wife's like, why don't you do that? You know, I'm like, okay, fine. So I come in on Monday. I'm doing this. I'm going to come back in. They put me in the group. They do their normal meetings, like 80 people, but we are in pods, like of about, I don't know, maybe 12 people and then a manager to each one or whatever. After the whole company meeting, he comes over and says, okay, before we get started with the pod I'm in, you need to apologize to everybody here.
What?
He goes, for the way you left and the stress and the blah, 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 blah you caused, whatever. I want you to apologize here. Basically, what I realized, he was trying to make an example out of me that nobody can leave. They're always going to come back.
Huh.
Right? So I said, okay. Jeff, do you really think I apologize?
No. Nope. So, hell no.
So I go, I apologize if wanting to better myself and willing to invest in myself to make me better so I can make more money created problems here. Obviously, this isn't the right place for me. I turned and I said, F you, I'm out of here again. And that's it. I left. And that was it. That was it.
Oh, I want to
give you a standing ovation.
Yeah.
So that I left. Now, okay, why are we talking about all this? Again, I still have the problem. No college education. You know, they're not going to give me a reference, right? All this other stuff. So what do I have a problem. I don't interview well. It's like almost like in schools, right? I can study for the stuff, but if I take an exam, I usually don't do well on the exams. So mm-hmm. I had all this nervousness. Well, there was this thing that was starting to come around called the internet, and there was this thing called monster.com. Well, you could find a job there.
They had the best ads, by the way, on the planet. These little kids would come on and go, I want to be mediocre in middle management.
I remember that.
Oh, my God. Right.
Exactly. So, but here's the thing that when I took it to the next level, they had a section that like a help section, like you could study on how to answer interview questions.
Yeah.
You know, so I started studying all this stuff. So I started lining up jobs and I started studying all this stuff, got some interviews. The one interview that I had, I actually drove there the day before on purpose. I wanted to see exactly how long it was going to take me to get there. Right. Because it wasn't right around the corner. It was actually off by Ulmerton, if you know where that is, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Right around the St. Pete area, 4th Street, St. Pete area. Right. Yep. I'm all the way up in the Trinity, Newport Richey, Florida area. So I would actually drive the day before the exact time to see if I would get there. I would make sure I showed up 15 minutes early. So I did the whole drive and all the way back with this kind of traffic. And then sure enough, the next day I went, made sure I got there 15 minutes early because, listen, if you're on time, you're already 15 minutes late in my book.
Yeah, my mentor said if you're not 30 minutes early, you're late.
Okay, I like it. So I get there. Anyway, long story short, not only did I get this job, they gave me a salary of 45 grand and they gave me a bonus structure that I was like, what the hell? And it was just in a matter of days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went from all the stress to, here you go, not micromanage the whole nine yards. Now, it was an internet company, which was new at the time, right? There was one time where I said, hey, I needed something. It was in the middle of the day. And they're like, yeah, you just go in the supply room and get it. And I'm like, I said, what? And she goes, yeah, just go in the supply room and get it. I go, I'm allowed to get out of my seat? No, I'm dead serious. That's when it really resonated to me that I was in an unhealthy work environment.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Okay. And so with that being said, not only did I go find something better and I was making more and I was happier and all, and I was learning more. Now it was the internet. Things ended up crashing quick after that. Had to get another job, then another one. Right. But then as I had another job, I got this idea to start something on the side. I didn't even really know how to turn a computer on barely, but I wanted to, it's too long of a story for me to tell you now, but suffice it to say, it was in the search engine optimization marketing side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, I would work all day and then I would go home after the kids and my wife would go to bed, or my kid at the time go to bed. I had another one on the way at that point, but when she would go to bed and my wife would go to bed, I'd be up all night studying, sometimes till like 2 or 3 in the morning, get up at 6, go to my regular job. And within a year, I had to leave this one job because it was costing me money. I started my own company on the side, and that company within, was it less? It was just shy of 5 years, I think it was. I ended up selling that company for $1.2 million cash.
Yeah, way to go.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. That never happens if I don't realize that in that moment that I was too stressful, I didn't want to quit because I was afraid of the unknown. If I don't quit then, none of these other chain of events come around, right? And where I start my own company, build it, grow it. I was fortunate enough where somebody came and offered me, it was a cash deal too, it wasn't stocks. Here's cash. So you take the story I told you earlier, and all of a sudden I got $1.2 million in the bank.
And everybody else is still working for a commission.
Yeah, well, and then at least that gave me enough money to start. I took some time off, and that gave me some money to start start Sales Buzz, right? And which I've been doing for the past over 10 years. But the whole point is this. There's two major things here in these stories I told you. The one was to hang in there, don't give in, don't even think, just fight to another day, which saved my life. And I didn't even realize at the time. And then the other one was like, you know what? Sometimes you have to quit to win. And so you have to analyze. It's not, oh, this is too hard, I want to quit. No, it wasn't that. It was, you know what? I've done everything I can. This is not a safe. And it could be a personal relationship. It could be a business relationship. But you got to realize if you're not in the, if it's not healthy, there's something better on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's about, it boils down to values. And they started to compete. That original company started to compete with some of your top values, you know, of investing in yourself, of bettering yourself, educating yourself. And that's clearly one of your high values, because the minute that they said no, there was like so much friction, and you were like, you know, it wasn't like they said, no, you can't eat this for lunch. And you're like, I don't care that much about it. Like, education.
No, you can't
go
to that seminar.
Right. Education to you was everything.
So,
yeah, for sure.
Let me throw this at you. What happened with Michael, and this is just my perspective as a listener, is people kept trying to do stuff to him that didn't feel right to him. And his reaction was personal rebellion in order to get himself to a place where he felt right. And
wow, I've never had it put that way, but I think, Jeff, you just nailed me right on.
And the challenge that he had was his belief in himself, his determination to be able to make his life better, his understanding of the responsibility of family, because his had obviously abandoned him when he was young. And so you're going to look at it from the perspective, there's all those things are converging, and it's going to actually strengthen his inner self rather than make him fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
He actually took this as strength moves, not as defeat moves, and increased his resolve, found his monster, and you know, found his next thing, and it led him to realizing that he was responsible for his own income.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's always been front and center.
Yeah. And he is responsible for his own success, and you can't blame. Look at the shit that he could have blamed shit on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at the people he could have blamed all the way down the line from stepfathers and moms and family.
Bad bosses
things,
that don't let you out of your chair.
Yeah.
What the hell is that about?
And if I may, I do want to say I did learn a lot working at that one company, especially had a cold call and things. Like that. So it wasn't all bad. So I don't want to, like, anybody that listens to this that might have worked there at the time. It was some bad management that crept in.
I think it was a bad philosophy of leadership.
If you had to pee, were you allowed to get out of your seat?
Yeah. Did they give you like a Coke bottle?
It was looked frowned upon.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I wouldn't have made it a day. I have to go to the bathroom like every hour.
Okay, but look at it, diehards. Listen to this very carefully. What are you complaining about, and what feels right to you, and what feels wrong to you in your sales life, not your family life? I don't want to get that deep. Let's just stick it with your sales life. And what are you doing to be able to overcome that in a way where you are the winner, not the whiner? I'm in charge of the complaint department, and I'm also the chief complainer.
You know, at the beginning, you said choose to lose. And I wrote it down because that phrase really stuck with me. I don't think you were choosing to lose, though. I think you were choosing to take risk and fail forward. And
right. Let me explain that if I can.
Yeah.
So the meaning of choose to lose, I actually heard it at one of the churches I attended once. And what it was, they were giving it a reference, like when you're having some conflict, like be the bigger person. You don't have to, you know, respond or whatever that name. You know what I mean? Just choose to lose this because you're not going to win an argument anyway in that type of scenario that they were using as a reference. Mm. But yeah, so there's sometimes where I always remember that and I'm like, you know what? I don't have to continue to do this. I could just say, you know what? Okay, fine, whatever, because there's a bigger win on the other side.
Yes.
You know, it's to be taken in the right context.
Yeah, that makes
sense. I think it's good to have as a tool, like, hey, it's okay to choose to lose sometimes in certain scenarios. Other times you're going to want to stick it out no matter how hard it is. Don't forget, guys, that single piece of thread I was down to. No joke.
Yeah.
Now,
you know,
let me clarify something. It's easy to quit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people quit on jobs, on relationships, on even on marriage. But here's the bottom line. And I've taught this for years. And Michael actually just said, he reinforced my philosophy. If you're thinking about quitting your job as a salesperson, first become the number one salesperson on the team, then quit. And that way, you're going to walk away a winner. What the hell is your boss going to say? Because if you're a loser, if you're a shitty salesperson, your boss is going to throw you under a bus. But, well, why did Michael quit? Well, he was our best guy, and he chose to tell people to fuck off.
But I think there's, there's so many people, when you are succeeding in your sales job, you do have those thoughts that Michael had of like, or you didn't have them, but your boss put them in your head of like, well, where else are you going to go and make this kind of money?
Yeah, that's bullshit.
And a lot of times, if you're that person, you have a family member saying that to you. And I'm sure diehard, you've either said it to yourself or you've heard it before. Where am I going to go and make that kind of money? And the truth is, there's probably a better opportunity
every time
around the corner if you make the space for it.
Every
and that's
time.
What you did.
And don't blame yourself for quitting. Just keep looking. In a barn full of horseshit, there's a pony. Go fucking find it.
So there's two things on that too. So don't forget, when I quit the one job that I had to start my first company, that was right when the dot-com bomb was happening. So my wife was going crazy. Like, you're leaving this company. Everybody else is losing jobs and you're leaving one to start your own. She's like, you don't know how to start a company. I'm like, yeah, I'll figure it out. Right.
Right.
You just do it. Right. But here's the thing though. So the second thing I want to say is, you know, everybody always says failure is not an option. Bullshit. Failure is absolutely an option. And so what you can do is that when you realize that failure is an option and you go, holy shit, I don't want to taste failure. Right. When you take that power and you use it as fuel to go, yeah, failure really is an option. So I better get my ass going because
exactly.
I don't want to face it.
And it's not failure. It's just temporary failure.
Yeah, and that could be true. Yep, absolutely.
It's a stepping stone. It's how you look at it. Like, are you carrying that failure on the weight of your shoulders and all on your back and all that? Or are you using it as a brick to march up up steps?
The great Glenn W. Turner, where I got my initial multi-level marketing information and personal development information in the early 1970s, late 60s, said, this position comes with a bag of cement and a bucket of water. And you either make a stepping stone or a stumbling block out of it. It is 100% your choice.
Nice.
Ooh, like, that's
wait, fucking wait. That's
and,
but
good.
Some things are said to you and it just sticks with you forever. And Michael chose stepping stone.
Hell yeah. And diehard, you will too.
Yeah. Yeah. No argument with that.
Hey, Michael, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your
life
story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally appreciate it.
I hope it helps.
It will.
It will.
I'm sure it will.
It will. So diehards, my recommendation is don't listen to this story. Take the lessons from this story. Take this story to heart and feel great about Michael. Do not feel sorry about what happened to Michael because he doesn't feel sorry for himself. He feels great about himself. And what he has done has given himself and his family victory in a way that he could never have imagined at 14 years old, running down the street with his mom, trying to get away from a guy with a shotgun. And you look at where you have been in the past and you look at the shit that's happened to you, learn from it and resolve from it and determine that you're going to become better as a result of it. And don't lament little shit. Just go for your own victory, no matter what the circumstances are. And you can do it.
That's right. Go follow Michael. Where can they find you? Like Instagram, Facebook? Where's the best platform for you?
Yeah, the best platform, either connect with me on LinkedIn or just go to my website, salesbuzz.com. If you're struggling with sales and you need help in that area, I teach these classes. Everything that I use to build my first and my second company, I teach exactly how to do by selling over the phone in these live classes. You can take a free on-demand class first to see if you like the content and style. And then if we need to talk further from that, we can. Just go to salesbuzz.com.
As well as I have known Michael Padone over the last 25 years, I now feel like I'm his brother. And I feel as though this lesson is so understandable, so real, and so shareable that each of us, me included, will talk to somebody that we know, share with somebody that we know, that can be amazingly impacted by this story of not quitting.
Yeah. And, you know, I wonder, Die Hard, what story you have in you. Like, this is Michael's third time coming on here. Jeffrey, you've known him for
years,
for two decades, yeah, 2.5 decades. And this is, I think he said, his first time ever really coming out publicly to share this story that I know is going to impact, oh man, so many of you. It impacted us. I mean, yeah, it impacted us for days.
We're still talking about
yeah,
it. Yeah.
And so, do you have a story in you that you need to tell? Do you have a story in you that you need to share that can help other people? And what's holding you back?
Michael Padone has just issued a truth statement that can impact you and others who you know and love. You may have a truth statement as well, but in the meantime, help somebody else with his.
Yeah, the best way to share this episode is to just take a screenshot of what you're listening to right now, post it to your Instagram story, and just put a little caption of your number one takeaway. Make sure you tag us so we know how it's impacted you. And we will be there to support you on the gram. Until next time, I'm Jen Gittimer.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and share messages of truth with people that you love.